NFL players speak out about police murdering unarmed black men. And Don't Look at Me is MLB's new beef. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Okay.
I was wondering what the song was going to be today.
Of course. I
played
this one.
Charlie picked it.
Oh, shoot.
I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling very Colin Kaepernick-ish, although he never said fuck the police.
Right.
I mean,
but
it's hard not to have those sentiments.
At this point, you know.
By the way, Betty Shelby brought up on first-degree manslaughter.
Welcome to Sports Weekly, guys. We do have a full panel tonight, but Raina is making her way inside the building.
She's making a statement.
Oh, yeah.
She's making a statement. She wasn't here for the National Anthem.
That's right. Every Thursday night at 7, guys, you can catch us here on Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and Instastory at Erica Renee D.
Hey, guys, this is Charlie. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Charlie L. Myers.
And I'm Joshua Johnson. You can find me, as always, on social media at JJ the Talented. Hit me up. Let's talk sports. Let's talk politics. Let's talk whatever. I'm down.
And as always, follow all things. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Okay. Follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. And guys, for the occasion, I wore my shirt again that says, tell me I'm pretty for a black girl. This is not quite this is my Colin Kaepernick, you know, solidarity shirt.
Yeah.
She has an afro. Don't tell me I'm pretty for a black girl. Okay.
Colin Kaepernick has an afro now.
He does have an afro.
Does he have cornrows right now? Or?
He has cornrows. Yeah.
Okay. Right. He's going back and forth.
You know that black hair is versatile like that.
Yeah.
Do you have a shirt that says don't or only hug me because I'm black?
I don't have a shirt that says only hug me because I'm black. But
is that your next shirt?
That's my next. Like on St. Patrick's Day, people say, well, because when he came in, he gave me a side hug. I was like, are you hugging me because I'm black? You feel sorry for me because my people have had a bad week.
This is Black Hollywood Live.
Come on, Raina.
Ooh, here she is.
Raina's fresh off her protest.
Come on in. Looking like a librarian.
You look pretty. We're live on air, by the way.
Fresh off the protest. Raina on CP right. time.
Sorry, do you take your time?
No, we're really on the air right now.
Say hi, everybody.
So tell everyone, this is Raina. You guys know Raina, but tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. You know that LA traffic is too much. Just put the camera back on them, please.
You look so cute. Your hair looks very pretty. Okay, Josh, let's talk about...
It's hard. I just feel like so drained. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we've talked about this countless times on the show. The fact that the past week, two more black men have been gunned down.
Yeah, Terrence Crutcher.
And then
Keith Lamont Scott. Terrence Crutcher was the black man who was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, whose car broke down. Helicopters tased him. They shot him. And then Keith Lamont Scott was the one who was reading the book.
In an apartment complex parking lot.
North Carolina,
The police were serving a warrant, not for him, for someone else, but unfortunately he was gunned down. The facts are still coming to light about that. But in the meantime, athletes are speaking out and being more vocal about the issue of police violence against black men. Also, and taking a stand along with Colin Kaepernick. We saw, I think it was Monday Night Football last week, where more players decided to kneel along with Colin Kaepernick as a protest during the national anthem. But this past week, more players have stood out and stood up with a statement, namely among them, Cam Newton, Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch have all given statements regarding the latest round of police shootings. Let me start with Richard Sherman. He decided in his press conference where he's made available to the media following a game that he did not want to answer any questions. Instead, he gave a statement, and I'm just going to read a little quote from that statement. When you tell a kid when you're dealing with police, just put your hands up and comply with everything, and there's still a chance of them getting shot and no repercussions for anyone. That's an unfortunate time to be living in. Something needs to be done. So Richard Sherman in his statement saying something needs to be done. And I agree with him. I'm sure we all agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then what can we do?
So we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mentioned it would be the most ideal set of circumstances if every professional athlete, particularly in NFL, NBA, since those sports are mainly played by black men, boycotted for a season. And when you start looking at the logistics and the economics of it, of how that impacts the lower-level players who don't make the LeBron money, you think, well, how will those players survive? And so Charlie and I were talking about it before the show. The LeBrons, the Magic Johnsons, the Michael Jordans, the billionaires, the ones who are worth $500-plus million, I think should galvanize and decide to boycott a season for boycott their sport for the season, and the richer players should pay the salaries of those lower level players so that they can survive. Because just think, like, every NFL roster has 52 people. Every NBA roster has between 12 and 15 people. There's enough money at the top for those top players to trickle down those salaries to pay those lower level salaries for a year. Because could you imagine if we didn't have a Super Bowl? Could you imagine if we didn't have an NBA Finals? Could you imagine if the advertisers didn't have Super Bowl commercials, you know, to make their $1 million per 30 seconds off of? It really has come to that. I get chills. I get so sick of going to bed and waking up every morning to a new hashtag, to a new black man getting killed. And it's beyond me, and I really think it's going to take something as drastic as professional athletes saying we're not playing.
I agree with you. I just don't know if it will come to fruition. It's one of those things that everybody ends their press conference or their statement with, we need to do something. Well, why aren't we doing something? Mm-hmm. We need to do it. Don't just say you're going to do it. Do it. Say, be the person, be the knight in shining armor like Colin Kaepernick is, and say, hey, this is what we're doing, this is how we're going to achieve it, and this is the path that we're going to take. Until that is done, I don't see any changes happening. Mm-hmm. I want it to happen, but with just statements, it's not going to change anything.
So at the time you said that, Erica, a week or two ago, I felt like it was a pie in the sky idea. Mm-hmm. Now I can just imagine the outcome of that would be really awesome. If we could see something like that take place, where players would take a stand and say, hey, this means enough to me, so much to me and my community, my culture, my family, I'm going to withhold my, you know, my talent from this league. The league, what would they do? They couldn't come back from that. That would make a clear statement, especially when you're talking about Super Bowl, football just in general.
Yeah.
Even if it was like the freaking Jacksonville Jaguars versus, I don't know who else, the Rams? If no one played.
Like, if, yeah. I mean, and it's so sad that the value of a black man's life in America, first and foremost when it comes to non-black people, is contingent upon his athletic ability. And that could be a good and a bad thing, a double-edged sword. So use that to our advantage and take away those talents. Dorena, go ahead.
I mean, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but like last night, I just kind of had a rant going on. I mean, just watching the protests in Charlotte on CNN, it's so sad that by now we still haven't made any movement. Instead, we're just going, it's worse and worse. But what we're talking about right now, I was thinking about the NBA lockout. Remember when the players couldn't play and everything? How much did it affect the fans and of basketball in general? And, you know, the players were pissed off that they weren't playing, you know. Why can't we do something like that? Like, imagine the impact that it would have on our world if this happened.
To your point, it would change our economy totally. Because if the NBA, the National Football League, if they take a stance and they don't play, the U.S. in whole is going to lose a shit ton of money.
Yes, Lord.
And so if the white people that are running these particular teams stop, if they don't have their players to do anything, they're going to panic. They're going to do it. So I think that they should take a stance. Like I said, do something about it. Yeah. Make a lockout. And I feel like things will change because of that.
I think that would probably be the best next step.
I wish we had some statistics for that. I was going to go there before you said it, was that, remember the lockout? And what other sports have we had? Either lockouts in, I know,
hockey.
Baseball, right? Hockey.
NFL's had a lockout. Maybe when we were much younger, maybe like in the 80s or the 90s. I feel like there was an NFL lockout.
Or has there ever been a protest of that magnitude as far maybe a game or so? I don't know. But I'm wondering if we could find some statistics, right, I'll try to make a note to look that up. To see what the repercussions were.
Yeah.
Well, there was last year when there was a riot in Baltimore. Do you guys remember that they played
the Orioles?
The
right?
Orioles. Oh, they played a game
with nobody in the stands.
That's correct.
And then when the University of Missouri football players protested and they threatened to not play that football game, mm-hmm. and the boosters, like, so the athletic director, I believe, resigned, and then eventually Gary Pinkel stepped down as, like, a fallout from that protest. And I spoke personally with an older gentleman, white man, who I know who graduated from the University of Missouri, who has expressed to me he is so pissed because of that protest that they have lost so many recruits and there's so many kids who don't want to go to Missouri anymore because of the fallout from that protest. And I got into a very heated debate with him about, it's so funny to me that your first concern is the fallout from the protest and how that's affected your scholarship program, how that's affected your team, how that's affected you not getting recruits, but you're not even compassionate enough to understand why those players even protested. So those college players protesting had a trickle-down effect. So, yeah, I definitely believe that if NFL and NBA players really stood together and didn't play a couple of games or a whole season,
yeah.
we could really see a change.
We don't have stats, really, but it says the NFL locked out in 2011, Major League Baseball strike in 94, NBA strike in 1995, NHL lockout 2004 to 2005, 1994 to 1995, NFL strike in 1987, Major League Baseball strike in 72, NFL strike in 82, another baseball strike in 81, NBA lockout in 98 to 99, and NHL strike in 92.
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the next step.
Yeah, that is the next step.
As athletes right now, like, they should all come together and...
And I want to say this. I've had some personal conversations with my white friends. I grew up in a really small town, Waycross, Georgia. Always, every time I get a chance, I try to put it on the map because, you know, no one, you know, really knows Waycross. But these issues are very polarizing in my town because in my town, everything is black and white. And my white friends out here have said to me, Erica, like, I don't know what to say. Like, I feel uncomfortable when my black friends start ranting. I mean, I'm on your side, but I don't know how to insert myself in the conversation. So I just encourage, you know, white people who care enough to have open conversations with your friends. Maybe you aren't going to go on Twitter or Facebook and rant about it, but at least, like, try to have an open, honest conversation about, you know, where we as black people are coming from. And then I want to say this, because athletes, black athletes, have such a platform, and this is my message to white women. White women are looked at as being trophies and holier than thou, and as society we value white women and their opinions. And I think it's really interesting that white women like to look at athletes and black celebrities as, let me go to the club to get with one. Let me sit courtside. You know, you want to be that trophy wife. But when it's time to get in the trenches and stand up for a black man that you are dating or sleeping with, where are you on social media? Like, I just get so angry that, you know, this is a time where we, black people, need you, white women, who have a voice to speak up for these black athletes and rappers and celebrities that you have such an affinity for. So if you're sleeping with them and you're chasing behind them and you're trying to sit courtside, you're trying to be their trophy wife, this is the time to get on Twitter and talk about how much you really love your black man.
A lot of people are getting at the Kardashians for that. I see them all.
Well, this is the time.
I wouldn't just say white people and white women because... Okay. Just anyone who is not African American, because it's more than just white people that aren't in our situation.
True, but there's a certain affinity that we still in America have for the white woman and then the white man, because they're still the picture of power. And whether or not we like it, a white woman with blonde hair, her perspective probably goes a little bit further than a Latina woman's. Perspective.
So I live in Orange County, and I am a majority of the people that live there are white females and males. And I was talking to somebody about this, and I was like, so what do you feel about this Colin Kaepernick situation, the situation that is around our world? And they were like, well, it's just too much, there's too much publicity about it. And I was like, well, you need to realize that the reason why there's publicity about it is because it's still going on in our world today. If he doesn't publicize it every single day, it's never going to change. And to that point, Colin Kaepernick, I mean, I know we've kind of briefly talked about it. He's getting death threats, you guys. Yeah. He's getting death threats for this, as well as he's proving the point. He's saying, hey, people are giving me death threats. You are proving my point, the reason why I'm sitting out mm-hmm. this national anthem. So I just feel like people are in their own little bubble.
They are.
And they just don't want to get outside of that yeah. and outside of their comfort level.
If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't want to be bothered.
Right. You know what's interesting about those death threats? It's crazy how much negative comments and publicity that he's getting, but when there's a domestic violence case going yeah. on in the NFL, do they get death threats? Like, yeah. There's other issues that NFL players do that's morally wrong. Like, it's crazy to me how Colin Kaepernick is getting all yeah. of this. Yeah. This just hate.
And it's also ironic how a week or 2 weeks ago, his jersey was the number one selling jersey across 49ers.com website and NFL.com website, but a recent poll shows that he's the most disliked player in the NFL right now, which, and then he's on the cover of this week's Time. I don't know if you guys saw that. And I also want to say this, whenever something major happens in society, whether it's Paris or the Orlando shootings, you see people change their Facebook statuses and their profiles and their avatars to pray for Paris, pray for the Syrian refugees, pray for Orlando, you know, God rest the souls from 9/11. If you at any point in your social media career have done a pray for Paris or talked about Hillary or Donald or pro-Obama or anti-Obama, if you ever take to your social media to express your sentiments about social issues, then you need to express your issues about these injustices too. Like, don't put your tail between your legs and act like black men are not getting slaughtered for no reason, because this is as important as going on your stump about Donald or Hillary or Obama or Paris or Orlando. This is something else that needs your attention too, white people.
I totally agree with you, Erica. Like, my bestie Gabrielle Union said the other day, our bestie.
Hey,
she said, my brand ain't shit if I don't say anything. And it doesn't matter if you're a celebrity. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete. You could be an Instagram famous person. You could be a Twitter famous person. You can just be well known around your city. Whatever it takes, that you have a voice. Everyone has a voice. Everyone can impact somebody. And so with issues like this, I totally agree. You have to be vocal about this. Whether it's just a simple prayer, something, anything can help.
Well, listen. If it came down to athletes protesting by not playing a game mm-hmm. or a season, what yeah. would it take to bring them back to the game? Because what would all that be for?
I'm just gonna go back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. If once big money corporations' pockets are hit so heavily, please believe the owners of these teams are going to go to their local, to the police departments within those individual cities and try to partner with yep. those police departments and partner with those local governments and say, what can we do to provide sensitivity training? What can we do to make sure every police officer has a body cam? What can we do?
Training, body cams.
Yeah, so... I mean, again, there's power when you hit somebody's pocket, and I do honestly believe that team owners and GMs would make every effort to partner with local police stations.
Not even local, but they have the ear of national,
yeah.
Federal politicians at the yeah. federal level. So I'm sure, because they're sitting up there in the owners' boxes too
mm-hmm.
during the game. So I'm sure they can just go yeah. make a phone call and be like, hey, pass this bill and this and release this amount of money
right.
and make things happen. But I'm just wondering what do we need to have happen? You're saying sensitivity training, body cameras, and those two things, is that enough to bring this athletes yeah. back?
So, I mean, in my opinion, this will never happen. But I hope that they do something along those lines. What I would love to see is that they fire all police officers right away and be like, you're welcome to reapply again.
I like that.
Instead of paid leave.
Yeah. Because
across the country?
Across the country. Again, they have...
How long?
Until they go through that that rehiring process. Because so they get fired, and then literally the next day they can be rehired, but they have to go through the interview process again.
They have major job fairs.
Without police...
But
that could be a little dangerous.
No, I get that. There's going to be like
in stages, maybe.
Who would be enforcing the law? during that time is what I'm getting at.
You make a good point. What I'm trying to get
the
at
National
is...
National Guard.
Yeah.
Like they are in Charlotte right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this is just... And listen, Stephen A. Smith said something like this on First Take this morning. He said that he wishes that ABC or ESPN would provide a platform to have an open forum, not particularly for black people, but for white people to express their opinions and their thoughts and concerns about how they feel about these issues. And, you know, I would love to challenge, you know, Maria and Kevin, you know, here at AfterBuzz TV to, you know, host a town hall-type meeting with the AfterBuzz host and the BHL host and, try to engage white people and people from other backgrounds, not particularly in the entertainment industry, but bring us together and do an open forum/town hall meeting where we exchange our thoughts and ideas about why we are where we are, what we can do to move forward, and I just why the anger and the hate, just the embedded hate for the black man. Like, I really cannot understand the psyche
back,
of that.
It goes back centuries.
So
I think it's
centuries.
Intimidation.
Two more athletes besides Richard Sherman made statements. Cam Newton, who in August told GQ magazine when asked about why he received hate as an athlete, he said it wasn't about race. He said that America had moved past race. But now, in his most recent press conference, when asked about this particular issue with Terrence Crutcher and the issue with Keith Lamont Scott, he said he didn't know enough about the Charlotte situation, but that if he says he'll be critiqued for saying something and consider it fake and flawed if he doesn't say something. He also said that black people have to do right by black people and cannot be hypocrites. And on top of that, it said... But then he said, how would it be if my kids didn't have a daddy? People need to be held accountable. So he did make that statement. And then he said, I'm a firm believer of justice and a firm believer of doing the right thing. And I can't repeat enough about just holding people accountable. I'm an African American. I'm not happy with how justice has been kind of dealt with over the years. This is Cam Newton's statement.
Cam is a flip-flopper because last year when the whole dab stuff was going on, he... very vehemently said that he felt like he was getting criticism from the lady who wrote the article to the local paper in Charlotte who was criticizing him for dabbing and the other incidents and the hits he was taking. He said last football season that he felt that he was, you know, treated unfairly in the public eye because he was a black quarterback. And then he got a lot of flack for saying that. And then around the Super Bowl time, he kind of took it back. So his August GQ interview was along the same sentiments of, you know, straddling the fence. And I know that Cam's in a precarious situation because,
he has to be mainstream.
He's mainstream.
He's the guy that's going to be, you know, he's going to play both sides of the fence because he's got to appease audiences on both sides.
That's going to
benefit him in his mind, I think, in the long run.
In the long,
it's a hard situation. I feel both sides. I feel like he is the new face of the NFL, and that's why there's so much scrutiny around him. The old face was Tom Brady, and he could do no wrong. And
Kobe Brissett, by the way.
Oh God,
running touchdowns. I know Bill Belichick's about to have a heart attack.
By the way,
he gave Bill Belichick the ball after the touchdown.
I saw that.
I'm gonna check that. Let's
see. But yeah, it's a tough spot to be in as an athlete. Cam is in Charlotte. Obviously, a city affected by the riots right now. Another player we know of, a big name player from Charlotte or from that area, is Stephen Curry, who had a tweet said, "Praying for my city, we deserve better than this." #704, which is probably the area code, I'm guessing. #Hashtag Keith Lamont Scott. And I was looking for him to say something. I was curious as to if he would say anything. So I had to search and Google that, but he did make a tweet. And then Marshawn Lynch on Conan, when asked about the situation with Terrence Crutcher, he said, but Colin Kaepernick kneeling, said, "I'd rather see him kneel down than to put his hands up and be murdered. If you're not racist, you won't see Colin Kaepernick's protest as a threat."
Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, every NFL player better have your asses on this bench come Sunday. Every single one of y'all, black, white, Samoan, y'all, every one of freaking one of y'all better have your asses sitting down on the bench.
A revolution needs to take
place,
though.
Like, taking a knee, sit your ass down.
I hate to be the pessimist on this, but it won't happen. They're there for their paycheck, and if they feel like they're going to have any way of, like, hurting that, they're going to stand up.
Your WNBA girls.
What are they
going to
do?
Yeah,
what are they
going to do? Put in replacement players? Yeah. Indiana Fever, they all... all their whole team during they all kneeled, mm-hmm. and the WNBA president released a statement saying, you know, they're not, she's not going to penalize them for doing that. So WNBA took a stand.
Damn, and all they had to risk was like $5. That's all they're gonna lose.
she mad.
So imagine if the WNBA. I mean,
that's funny.
If they set out, I mean, would anybody notice? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I like WNBA. Well, I do. Pretty, I love basketball. Yes. I do. But that's a brave statement on their behalf.
It
so,
is.
Jaw jokes aside. Yeah. But yeah,
speaking about a sport that nobody cares about but me, let's go to the.
I cared about this one.
I care.
Yeah, hell yeah. So entertaining.
Yeah.
So on Monday night, the Dodgers and the Giants were playing against each other.
That's a rivalry right there.
Yeah.
It is.
I don't know. I mean, the Giants don't look like they're going to make the postseason anyway. Uh-uh. But Madison Bumgarner was perfect through seven innings and didn't give out a earned run. And then Yasiel Puig comes up, hits a ground ball to him. Madison Bumgarner throws it to first base, and it looks like he did like a hell yeah. And then Puig turns around and he's like, "Don't look at me." And that escalated. They almost got into a fight. They've had history in the past, mm-hmm, where they've, mm-hmm, almost gotten to quarrels. I mean, we all know Puig has a history of being hot-blooded, so this is not a surprise to me. I'm not surprised by it by any means. But he did end up after the game. He made T-shirts, which is very funny. It's pretty much all of the Dodgers players, and it says hashtag Don't Look at Me, and they're all like covering their faces.
That's cute.
Yeah,
that's so petty.
That's something I would do. I love being petty.
I think it's funny. I mean, Yasiel Puig needs to do something because he is not going to be making.
I mean, is he even hitting 300 right now?
No, he's like 240.
But he had a great game last night. Was it last night's game?
Last night's game. He had a home run, but I feel like he's going to be either traded from the Dodgers or something. So he's trying to make a statement.
So
for
much
himself.
Promise. I really like the guy.
I do too. I feel like for a casual baseball fan like myself, Yasiel Puig brings something to the game, like an intangible to baseball that makes it more interesting. Now, granted, like
fun bravado.
He's definitely, you know, interesting and fun, and he gets in trouble, he causes commotion, and it keeps the Dodgers interesting, especially during that lull of the summer when it's, you know.
But if Clayton Kershaw, your best pitcher, is going to the front office and saying he needs to go, he's got to go. Clayton Kershaw is going to win you games. Yasiel Puig maybe is going to hit home run.
He's probably going to win fans.
Yeah.
Bring fans, because, you know, you have that one player that you're just, oh my gosh, what is he going to do now?
What is he going to do?
What is he going to do? What is he going to say next?
When he came in, he was like really highly touted. Like, this is the guy that's going to do a lot of things
for
us.
This is the guy that's going to be the next face of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm.
And he backed it up for a little bit.
And he backed it up for a little bit. And then the Major League pitchers figured him out. They said, oh, this is the way you hit. We're going to pitch it to you. And then he struck out, ground ball. But Madison Bumgarner, I have to, and you guys are going to hate me for this, but I have to defend him in a way. So you have to realize that they've had things in the past. And I know that he started it, but at the same time, he has a flair and he has this, like, I'm going to win a baseball game, and he usually does.
Who, Puig or Bumgarner?
And when, I feel like when Puig comes to bat or he tries to be the opposing batter, he's very cocky about it and he doesn't have respect for the game. And I feel like that's the reason why he got angry.
Me until you said respect.
That's
for
what I was
going to
say too. I'm like, and you're such a baseball purist. Again, like
What is respect for the game? What is
so
what is
he?
That?
Again, I'm very old fashioned in the way that I think. So with Yasiel Puig, all he wants to do is hit home runs and do amazing plays. But
that's all we want to see.
I get that. But he doesn't. It doesn't win games. It doesn't get you to the postseason. The Dodgers are going to do. They're going to make it into the postseason, but they're not going to do shit when they're there.
Hey.
So
watch yourself.
Well, you're an A's fan, so you're just a hater.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the Cubs are going to beat them. Even if the St. Louis Cardinals go in and they play against the Dodgers, the St. Louis Cardinals are the kryptonite of the Dodgers, and they're going to lose against them.
I think that I think any athlete in any sport, I think having that extra cockiness would be give you some sort of advantage in any sport that you play. Because I feel like it's just, you know, it kind of intimidates the opposite team. Like in baseball, for example, the way he walked up, you know, he's kind of psyching the pitcher out. Like no matter what, he's giving them that, yo, I'm going to kill this ball or whatever. So I feel like it just helps the players, it helps the game to have just a little swag, a little something.
For me, I agree with you, but you have to back it up. He has not backed it up this whole entire season. He's backed it up since he's gotten called up from AAA.
From the AAA, yeah.
But since then, he's only hit 11 home runs this year.
Yeah.
So, my question to you guys.
It's more than you, Charlie.
I know.
No, but I would ask after, I think after when he, the, but what's, how do you?
Bumgarner.
I always mess up his name. But just he was just like.
Mad Bum.
Mad Bum.
There you go.
Madison Bum.
Mad Bum. And he was just like, yeah.
Yo, you got
like,
a mad bum.
I wish.
How's that?
No. But when he was just like, yeah, like whatever, after he struck him out, I personally, when he was just like, don't look at me, I thought that was a little soft. Like, don't look at me.
He's a Southern boy, and he's not. He,
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. But in a fight, who would you guys have?
Of course, Puig all day. Puig would drag him across.
I should start fighting. I mean, he Puig. Said, don't look
he
at me.
He had to take a boat to get to America. I mean, the guy is going to scrap for all he's worth.
Yes, he is. I mean, that's, come on now. Who would you take?
Didn't he live in, like, Mexico?
Take Puig in a heartbeat. Yes. But he'd knock the crap out of him.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Is this the best rivalry in baseball?
Nope.
Is it the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox?
Oh, of all time?
Like, no, just, like, in general.
Currently?
Currently?
No. You just said the Giants aren't doing that well this year. They're not even going
to
make the playoffs.
But I'm saying, like, when they face each other, are we excited to see them?
I consistently do watch Dodger baseball, so for me, like, it's, and I've always liked Puig too, because he reminds me of like a little wild little puppy.
Oh God,
and he does
like a pug.
He's a wild puppy that needs to be put down.
That's See, look at you trying to kill the black man some more.
Oh, goddamn, it has nothing to do with that.
Good rivalry, like last season and the last three seasons. I think it was a good rivalry. This season. Not so much.
Yeah. I'm super excited that the Giants are probably not going to make it into the postseason. It makes me very happy.
I mean,
it's even your curse thing, whatever, it doesn't make away.
I don't know why it makes a difference to you.
Because I'm an A's fan.
A's is American League, so.
But I mean, same area, though.
The same area. It's like the Angels
and
the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or like Clippers and Lakers.
I mean, Lakers fans like the Clippers.
No, they don't.
I don't.
I like the Clippers.
I like the Clippers.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, exactly. Shade.
Says the WNBA
Shade.
Fan.
Shade.
Okay.
Put on your glasses.
Okay. Well, put on your glasses because we're going to talk about some football now. Moving on from your little baseball story.
A little baseball. Back to soccer. Got
it. I'm kidding. Listen, I love baseball. DraftKings.com. I love football more, though. At DraftKings.com, guys, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. As a matter of fact, the player who finished 800th last week in the one-week big fantasy football contest took home $100. So you can finish in 800th place like Josh and still take home a cool bill. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with more than $1 million in total prizes up for grabs, okay? So, guys, make sure you go to DraftKings.com. It's a destination for one-week fantasy football. You don't have to have season-long commitments, which is great. You can play whenever you want with whoever you want to play with. What you need to do is go to DraftKings.com, choose your players for this week's contest, enter the promo code BSports for Black Sports, for BSports. And, use that promo code. Tell everyone that we sent you. You guys win and cut us a check. You don't really have to cut us a check. We always say cut us a check. We're really just kidding. But
you cut me a check.
Venmo.
Not them.
Venmo, Cash App.
PayPal. Again, guys, only go to DraftKings.com. This is the only place you should play fantasy football because it's the best place. And you can be 800th in your little league and still take home $100.
We should do DraftKings and open up our own little league for whatever week we pick for NFL and see how we do.
That'll be fun. Cool.
But by the way, it's 20-0 Patriots.
Are you serious?
They're going to be 3-0 after this.
Yeah. Dang, this is crazy. Okay.
But when Tom Brady comes back, though, what's going to happen?
Right. Did you guys see the Tom Brady mask or the fake Tom Brady.
It's creepy.
Oh my gosh.
No, I didn't see
it.
Was Belichick wearing it?
No. it was a legit Tom Brady mask. Like, it looked.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It
was like face off.
Yeah, oh my gosh. It was so creepy.
Did it, like, did it feel like 3D?
It literally looked exactly like him. Like, it's just. I can't. Let me see. You have to look at the picture. Even he said it was creepy.
That was tonight at tonight's game?
No.
Early this week.
Hot seat or no big deal, guys. Really quickly, there are a few high-profile sports figures who are in the hot seat, or maybe they're not in the hot seat. We're going to decide. Let me see this picture.
Creepy.
I don't see how
that's the thing.
How's that a
that's
mask,
the
though?
Thing.
Oh, there it is.
It must be makeup.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It's probably like
Tom Brady's shirt.
It's probably makeup. You know how the makeup artists do it.
No, it's a legit mask.
But a mask, but like they had to do makeup as well, right?
No, it was... Like a,
it looks like, one of
those Halloween.
Yeah,
masks.
I was gonna say that's what it looks like.
That's
crazy.
let's get to this so we can talk about the other one after.
Okay. So that mask is definitely a big deal, and whoever made that mask should be in the hot seat for being a pervert. But Rutgers athletic director Pat Hobbs drank a beer on stage at a tailgate, and he had to issue an apology for his bad behavior. This school sponsored event was for the students. It started off with about 500 to 800 people, and then it ballooned to about 3,000 people. And Pat Hobbs said that he got on stage and drank this beer because he felt like it was getting out of control. So that was his way of trying to get everything back under control. But if you watch the video, it just looks like, you know, an older middle-aged guy just having fun with the students. They were kind of egging him on. Drank the beer. Now the athletic department at Rutgers has said, no more student tailgating at the alley, which is where these tailgates happen, for the rest of the season. Now, granted, Rutgers is not a football school anyway. You know, when you're not really known for your sports programs, any little bit of excitement when it comes to sports excites the student body. Now they took this away from these kids. So, was it a big deal for Pat Hobbs to drink this beer, to chug this beer on the stage with the students? And should he have been in the hot seat for this?
No, big deal.
I get why he's getting scrutinized, but like,
he's a grown man. He's over 21,
right? He's over 21. Who cares?
Can you legally drink beer over 21?
Would it be different if he had a glass of wine?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll be really questionable.
That's a stigma, yeah.
He just pulls out.
Cheers. If it was like cheers.
Cheers,
like,
yeah.
A glass of wine.
Okay.
But then I see kind of what they're saying about being an example, because there are students there who are under 21 who you don't want to set an example for.
That's the part that I...
About drinking.
See, but at tailgates, you can't help that there are going to be 10-year-olds there, 15-year-olds there, 20-year-olds there. Like, that's what a tailgate is. A tailgate is like a family picnic, essentially.
But it's not always conducive for a family environment.
Okay, but the older family members at tailgates and at picnics and at family reunions,
that's their call.
They're throwing them back.
They can drink. Yeah,
sometimes.
And they
give their
be bringing
younger
their kids there. But,
siblings,
that's their call.
You know. But then you're gonna have the powers that be say, maybe you shouldn't have done that. We're trying to protect an image too.
I feel like my
grandfather did that. Sorry if my grandfather's watching, but I feel like he was just like, here, have a little sip. Like when I was younger. Did you do that?
For sure.
No, but parents do that.
No.
My parents didn't, but I just know that happened
my
a lot.
Like,
they,
my aunts
like,
give me alcohol.
Give sip,
my aunts give
did.
Yeah, my aunts give us beer to go to sleep.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
Wow, that's a whole other story.
Right. Sorry, Mom. You already know this story. I'm going to tell my mom.
CPS.
Yeah. So Josh, you say that he should have gotten it was a big deal.
No, I say it's not a big deal, but
okay.
I see what they're trying to do.
I say, yeah, they should not have taken this pep rally away from these Rutgers kids. They don't have anything to look forward to as it
is.
They took away the pep rally.
He did it. So just keep him out of the pep rally
like
for a
he
week.
He can't talk on stage, I guess. That should be his.
I guess.
I think it would be totally different if he had wine.
Right. Yeah. But what if he had a shot of Jameson?
Ooh.
If he had a shot, then this whole thing would happen for sure.
Right, exactly.
But it's a beer, so.
Okay.
No big deal.
Okay, so hot seat or no big deal for USC head coach Clay Helton. He switches quarterbacks after his 27-10 loss to Stanford. Helton and the Trojans are off to a 1-2 start this year. Is Clay Helton's seat already hot after this dismal start, or is this just no big deal for the Trojans?
Well,
Did anybody expect the Trojans to do anything
to beat
this year?
Stanford? No.
So,
but they're 1-2, and they've lost the two games that they have lost have been by a combined 63 points, and this is the worst start for USC since 2001. And Clay Helton has been on that USC coaching staff since 2010, and he was an offensive coordinator since 2013. So people are kind of feeling that with his tenure at USC and with his familiarity with the culture, that he should have been performing better than this.
Do you think he's panicking and he's just like, oh, okay, I'm going to put somebody else in that's new? Like,
he had to make a change, yeah. Something. Yeah. What else is he going to do? Yeah. USC hasn't been good for, what, 8 to 10 years? I mean, do we, really? Like, since Pete Carroll, and before that when he had Matt Leinart.
Yep.
And those, that era.
406.
Reggie Bush. Lindell White.
That was the only time I remember.
The Matt Barkley years, they were good. The Matt Barkley, Tony Kessler.
But then that was mired with, didn't they start to take away the scholarships?
They had, that's when they were like on probation with,
The tail end of Matt Barkley's career. Yep. So, I mean, I really don't care. I don't like USC.
I know. That's
personally.
But do you think that he should be on the hot seat?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that it, yeah, I too. Yeah, he's done after
the season. Turn it around. Because they have a tradition of excellence. They have a tradition of football excellence. So make it great again. Like, get Donald Trump to be the head coach.
Jesus Christ. Oh,
he can make USC great again.
He can.
Give him that job and then get him out of the political race.
And he'll get rid of all the black players too.
They're gonna step down anyway. They're not gonna play this season. No one's gonna see USC with all white players.
All right, okay. Charlie Strong, you know, I'd pull for Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong has committed to fixing the Longhorns defense. Texas gave up 50 points to Cal last week, and they were winning that game. I really thought they were going to end up winning that game. He has had a checkered couple of years at Texas. The Longhorns won that game over Labor Day against Notre Dame, that double overtime game, I think 50-47. But then they lost to Cal, gave up 50 points. Is Strong back on the hot seat after this loss to Cal when they were winning for much of the game?
I feel like I'm going to make the same statement, and I'm probably going to look like an idiot, but I feel like they haven't been good since Young has been there.
Which is when USC was good. So.
Okay. Well, okay.
I'm just saying.
So is Strong on the hot seat already?
Mm-hmm. Fire him too.
I would say wait till mid-season. But I think he'll get to like 3/4 of the season. If they have a losing record, he's out of there.
Rand, what you got?
I agree with the boys.
On the hot seat?
Hot seat.
Just to give you guys a little bit more background, too, the Longhorns do have a bye this weekend, but then they play Oklahoma State, then they play Oklahoma. And then goodbye, later in the Charlie. Season, they've got goodbye, Charlie, right? Sorry, Charlie. Then they've got Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, and Kansas
it's
towards the end
Charlie.
Of the season.
Charlie Week is what it is. He ain't Charlie Strong
Charlie
after this.
Charlie Strong, Charlie Week. I agree with you because, they beat Notre Dame. If they could have beat Cal and could have held onto that lead and started the season off 3-0, versus, 2-1, I think he would have gotten a little bit more cushion later on down the line in the season to lose a couple of those big games. But I think he's going to have to go 8-4 to not get fired. And again, with Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, Kansas on the schedule left to go, and Oklahoma State and OU, like that's a very unforgiving schedule. So
yeah, you counted about 4 losses in that, I think.
I mean, at least. I mean, yeah. I say 6 losses. But I do think it's a big deal. I think Charlie Strong maybe not on the hot seat currently, but maybe after they lose to Oklahoma State. Oh,
Charlie Strong, Charlie gone.
Right.
Raina?
So yes, going to basketball. Derrick Rose, you briefly touched on it last week with Eric and I did. He is involved in an alleged gang rape with one of his
this
exes.
Story.
Well, they technically weren't official, but I guess he had relations with this woman, and basically him and his two friends are charged with gang raping this woman, Jane Doe. But as of Wednesday morning, the court, when the court trial begins on October 4th, Jane Doe will have to reveal her identity. So do you think that was fair for her to receive that? I would say it's a kind of like a punishment. And
it's such a sensitive topic.
Right.
She's going to get a repercussion for that. She's going to get death threats. She's going to get all kind of undue attention.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, because we've had rape cases where the accuser is falsely accusing the accused.
Yep.
And if you're going to put the accused name out there, then you got to put the accuser's name out there as well.
I feel the same way,
In
Josh.
In this case, we don't know yet. So it's really hard. It's tough because of the high profile nature of this case being that Derrick Rose is a huge athlete, she's going to get a lot of attention from this. Bad attention.
Is it the same thing as like a Kobe situation back when he was allegedly raped this girl?
Yeah, because her name came out. Was it during the case, though? Did it ever go to trial?
It wasn't. The court didn't like make her come out with it. Yeah. She came out with it on her own. So this is a different. The Jane Doe had said, you know, she tried to keep this private from her family. Her family doesn't know about the whole Kmart situation. You know, and they're very conservative. Mm-hmm. They're very, they're older. I think she said it was Mexican descent. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case was, you know, it's been very damaging for her over the years. And, you know, she felt like she wanted to keep it private. And now the court, as of October 4th, you know, that's when she has to reveal her identity.
Again, I know it's very sensitive, and I always try to, like, not toe the line too closely when it comes to speaking about, you know, rape cases and sexual assault incidents, because we talk about American crime, and I know we get a lot of, like, hate in our YouTube comments, and I can just say I've never been assaulted, you know, thankfully, so I can't speak with the kind of compassion that someone who has been assaulted, but just as someone looking at it from a completely like pragmatic perspective, as Josh said, if the accuser's name is going to be out there, if the accused person's name is going to be out there, I think in this justice system, if you will, that the person who is doing the accusing's name should be out there too, because with due process, you never really know if the person who's accusing is actually telling the truth. So I think that both the accused and the accuser should have to endure the same scrutiny just in case someone's lying and just in case that someone is the person who's alleging rape.
My question would be, is she going to have protection after her name is going to be released? Did we get that information? Or
protection?
Like security detail? Security.
I didn't mention in the articles that I read, but, I mean, I would hope so.
What would be the purpose, though, of releasing her name?
Well, from what I read, that...
Open court records?
Court records, and then also, you know, it would kind of... I think on Derrick Rose, his defense team is they were pushing for that, just to see how she reacts to that. Maybe she'll, like, back out of the story, mm-hmm. if it is a story, and, you know, if Derrick Rose was innocent, or, you know, it was just kind of interesting to see, like, how she would react to that. I mean, there wasn't much details about that, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's a tough situation.
It is tough.
It's very damaging on, you know, Jane Doe's end. I've never been sexually assaulted either, but I can only imagine how much damage and how that it's like we mentioned it last week, it's like a throbbing wound that just won't go away. So it's damaging for her in that sense, but it's also damaging for Derrick Rose, because you'll always have that rapist name, regardless of if he did it or not. Well, just as Kobe, you know, he was innocent.
Kobe was able to come back from that, actually. Yeah.
But Kobe's always... But throughout that time, he was known as the rapist.
Yeah.
So it was definitely...
The thing that helped Kobe was that they found the semen of those other men.
Yeah.
And it made her, you know, whether or not, you know, she was telling the truth or not, finding another man's, you know, semen in on your person.
But you still have that, like, on your record. True. Like, I was accused for raping.
I'm curious to see, this has nothing to do with the case, but I'm curious to see how it is going to affect Derrick Rose playing
his career.
That was my next question: is that how do you think his career will be in the NBA?
The Knicks are over,
and how the NBA would handle it if Derrick Rose was accused and he was guilty.
Well, and this is the last thing I'll say, because I know we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
With Kobe and with Derrick Rose, if we have any comparison, after Kobe came back, he literally looked like he was playing for his freedom out there. Like, there's no lightness on that, but he played excellent. With Derrick Rose, I don't see that happening.
He doesn't have a knee, literally, to stand on. So, I mean, he can't play for freedom or for a paycheck or for a team or anything. So, sorry.
What do you think, Josh?
No, I said my piece. It's a hard situation.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point of releasing her name. I see the strategy in it. But at the same time, if it does turn out that he was falsely accused, then her name does need to be out there. But we don't know that yet.
Well, yeah, we don't know.
Well, October 4th, we'll know more.
Will you give us a WNBA shout-out before we wrap?
Yes, WNBA shout-out. The WNBA playoffs will begin next week. They're still trying to figure out the seeds. Minnesota and Sparks were the 1 and 2 seeds, respectfully, so they automatically have double buys into the semifinals. Phoenix at New York is on Saturday. Atlanta and Chicago is on Sunday. They will rescind after these matchups, and the Sparks will play the higher of whatever seeds are left. So depending on who wins and who loses, LA could play New York, Atlanta, or Chicago. Phoenix is the only team they will definitely not play because they are the lowest seed. So our Sparks are in the playoffs. They're the number 2 seed. So go Sparks. Go Chelsea Gray.
Go Sparks.
Why don't they just sit out?
All right, guys. Thank you guys for joining us every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Your favorite sports squad, Sports Weekly. Guys, be sure to have open conversations with your friends. Ask questions. If you don't know what to talk about or how to feel about these most recent social injustices, don't be afraid. Ask your black friend. Have a conversation. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and Insta Story at Erica Renee D.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. This is Charlie Myers. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Charlie O. Myers. And the Patriots are up 26-0 with 11 minutes to go in the fourth. They're going to 3-0 record.
Dang.
I love white people. When they're acting right.
Right.
So leave your comments in the at the bottom past the description. Make sure to keep the conversation going. Talk about it because the conversation needs to happen. It's coming to a head, this racial divide, and it's going to take a revolution to change things. But my name is Joshua Johnson. You can find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And as always, you can follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. And until next Thursday night at 7 o'clock, guys, see ya.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals. From executives Kevin Undergaro. The first online broadcast network dedicated to...